what we sow, we reap. If we reap corruption or life, we want to make sure we look forward to the resurrection. As we see prefigured in the gospel today, the dead son, those dead in serious sin, the resurrection, our Lord, through confession, raising us back to life and restoring us back to Holy Church, to our Blessed Mother. And it's important to keep us on track in difficult times when others stray and seem to have no consequences. Indeed, this is a theme for more than one psalm that the priest prays in the breviary every day. The wicked prosper, and those who do right seem not to. But let us remember that death brings an end to all, and with death the fruits of our labors are given. This seemingly unfair treatment of those who choose to stay with God despite whatever the cost can be a challenge in a world where appearances count most. And so we must be careful to detach from that false notion, that lie, that appearances are what count, lest we be deceived, lest we be drugged by the sin of envy. Indeed, communism we face is based on envy in the form of one form or another, an envy that is deadly, a deadly capital sin, like a subtle worm that eats away slowly but surely at the soul, allowing it no rest. And why? For glory. But what glory? Praise? Empty puffs of smoke that will soon pass, that can shift on a dime like the wind and blow in the opposite direction. Most often, envy is rooted in vainglory. In fact, exactly what St. Paul warns us against in the epistle today. And St. Francis de Sales tells us how foolish vainglory is. We're proud of different things that we put on or that we have attached to ourselves that we have, but the glory of those things belongs to the others who made them. And vainglory is simply the desire for esteem. And we want to see the deadly poison that is the esteem of others, others' opinions. Not taking away from our own glory in heaven, as our Lord tells us, those who ring their own bells and get praise from men, they've had their reward. What a foolish thing to forfeit eternal reward for something that soon passes. And even if we have our own talents and abilities that God has given us, with just a little faith, we see the credit is not ours, but God's, who gives us that for his purpose and for an accounting that we must render of those talents and abilities. And so we want to remember, when we speak of vainglory, to understand it. And this comes from the book Hammond's Meditations, a five-volume set. Has very good meditations, and there is a significant section several weeks, maybe, or several days rather, maybe around a month or more, spent on pride, and then also goes into the enemies or this of humility. And it talks about vanity. In order to carry out our desires, we descend to the lowest species of baseness. We turn everything into vanity. And think about this in your own case as I go through this list. Vanity in regards to our clothes, which we desire should be rich, splendid, and well-made. Vanity in the very smallest details respecting our dress, to the extent of making a serious affair of it, and sacrificing to it a great deal of time and a great deal of money, even becoming irritated and imbued with discontent if fashion, taste, and caprice are not fully satisfied. Vanity in regard to furniture, which we desire should be handsome. Vanity respecting the table, which we wish should be richly served. Vanity in our language, which we endeavor to render clever and to distinguish ourselves by being original in what we say. Vanity in regard to our talents, instead of making use of them with a view to the glory of God. We make use of them with a view to our own glorification. Vanity in our conduct and deportment, which reveal affectation and a desire to attract notice. Vanity in regard to society. We like to frequent the great and the rich. We blush at having relations with the insignificant and the poor. Vanity with respect to our virtue. We are more desirous to induce people to think us virtuous than really to become so. We are assiduous in going to church, but we do not pray when we are there. We frequent the sacraments, but without being changed. There is vanity even in our humility. We say that we are miserable and sinners, that we do not know how to conduct ourselves, that we have no intelligence, no talents, but we should be very angry to be taken at our word. We desire to insinuate that we are very humble, and in the hope that we shall not be taken for what we say that we are, and that at the bottom, however falsely may be the praises which are addressed to us, we are delighted to listen to them, caring less for what we really are, and in the presence of God, than for what we are in the appearance and opinion of the world. Is that our history? Let us thoroughly sound our heart. And we want to remember that envy is, again, like a worm ever eating away at the happiness God wants us to have for eternity, taking away from our good works, taking away from that eternal happiness. And so we want to guard carefully against that. And remember, this comes from the spiritual life, and it talks about envy, the malice of envy, and its effects. And it talks about how it stirs within us sentiments of hatred, in direct opposition to charity, to the love of God. We cannot love God and whom we do not see if we do not love our neighbor whom we do see. And envy is a very powerful counteraction to that love of neighbor and develops hatred. Also, it tends to sow discord, not only between strangers, but between related families, and even among members of the same family. It disturbs our peace of soul, something everyone lacks, everyone wants, and no one knows how to attain. We need to get rid of envy. It urges us on to the immoderate quest for riches, for honors, spinning our wheels, wasting our time, storing up riches for this world instead of the next. And it goes to the remedies for envy. The negative means consist in scoring the very first intimations of envy, in other words, rejecting the temptation right away, distracting the mind by occupying ourselves with something else. Positive means are two, that the first is drawn from the fact that our incorporation with Christ, we are all brethren, members of the mystical body, and we should rejoice at the success of others because that is a glorification of Christ in a certain sense. You might say we are part of the same mystical body. And also the second means in cultivating that noble and Christian sentiment of emulation which prompts us to imitate and even surpass the virtues of our neighbor with the help of God's grace. In order that emulation may be good and remain free from envy, it must be right in its object. That is to say, it must bear not on the success, but on the virtues of others. Two, it must be worthy in its motives, seeking not to vanquish others, humiliate them, and bring them under subjection, but to make us better in order that God may receive greater honor and the church greater prestige. It must be fair in the means it employs to attain its ends, not intrigue, not subterfuge, nor any other unlawful proceeding, but effort, labor, and the right use of divine gifts. And so we can see, of course, the loss of work ethic. And we want things instantly, quickly, easily, how that counteracts, goes against that, being willing to work for the virtue that we acquire, being willing to work for our reward in heaven. And we want to remember that jealousy and envy are a little bit different. Envy is envying what others have, and jealousy is, so to speak, a jealous guard over what we have, and trying to keep that and not, and being disappointed if we lose our position or rank or if others surpass us. So let us ask our Blessed Mother and our guardian angel for their guidance in regard to achieving the peace that God wants us to have. Jesus, meek and humble of heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.